trust in you. I believe you. Lord, I trust in you. Oh, oh Lord, Jehovah, you. Oh, I trust in you. All together.
patient of days. My trust is in you.
Thank you, Father. Our trust is in you. We put it all in you. And we know, God, that you will never disappoint. You are faithful. You are caring. You are God, sovereign over our lives. And this day we magnify your holy name. We speak that name of Jesus, that glorious name. We proclaim it over our lives, over our homes, our family, over our church, over our friends, our children, our spouses, over our property. We proclaim the name of Jesus. For we trust you, Lord, that you're the God who has blessed us. And you've not added any sorrow with it. So today we receive total protection, total provision, total peace, and we walk victoriously, knowing, Father, that we are fully cared for. In Jesus' mighty name, We declare it so done. Amen. Praise God. Well, bless you for being part of the study tonight. Tonight's Bible study is going to be our last one through the summer months. Our next Bible study from now will be in September. But prayer meetings on Fridays still hold. So be mindful of that. No Bible studies, Wednesday Bible studies after tonight until September. And prayer meetings continue. The Word of God says we should pray without ceasing. And so we try to adhere to that. Amen. It's a time for workers to be able to rest and get ready for the busy happenings starting in September. All right. Well, we are studying through the book of Proverbs presently. And we've gotten up to verse 21. My hope is that we'll be able to finish the rest of the verses today. That should not be a challenge, but for me it might be. So Proverbs 17 and verse 21. One of the things we have to be mindful of when we read the Word of God is to take the full scope of what God has to say about the matter. And there are times certain things are said, but there are addendums to it. There are other passages that we can draw from to scale back certain things. And this particular verse is one of those. It says here, he that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow. And that is a very true statement. If you give birth to a child that is acting foolishly, it brings you much grief because you care. And then it says, and the father of a fool hath no joy. Now that's a very blanket statement. The father of a fool hath no joy. That's a passage of scripture. First of all, you begot a fool, you did it to your sorrow. Now, what do we have in here? Is there something that we need to know? First of all, we need to understand that the Word of God talks about children as a blessing. Yeah? So, Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22, Proverbs 10 and verse 22 makes this striking statement to us. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he added no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. It makes you wealthy. And he added no sorrow to it. But if children are a blessing, then we must also ascribe this statement to it. I shall not have sorrow from my child. I don't know if you get that. Okay? Now, Psalm 127 and verse 3, talking about children again. Psalm 127 verse 3 says, Lord, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. The fruit of the womb is his reward. So the children are a reward from the Lord, or a blessing from the Lord. And the word of God tells us that he adds no sorrow. So now when we read, he that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow, we must ask this question. Can I reverse this? Then the answer, based on this other passage of scripture, is yes. I can pray. I can believe that that child that is acting the fool can be changed. And whatever it is that has brought about this damage or this conduit that is bringing about grief and pain and sorrow, challenges to me, that God, who loves me with an everlasting love, will step in and help me with it. Amen? So then we must look at this particular passage as a passage that's saying to us, you got a fool, you're going to get pain. If you're a father of a fool, you're not going to have joy. You're going to have one problem after the other, after the other. So what are you going to do about it? Lay hold on the other word of God. Remember what we've been talking about on the sideline the last few weeks, the second letter, the second word. There's another word. So you don't need to give up and say, well, I got a fool. This is how it's always going to be. No, 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 no. We refuse to accept that. We will cleave to the word of God that gives us a different answer. And what does the second answer say? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So you take on to the joy of God. You don't grab on the grief, you grab on the joy, and you stick with the joy, and it becomes medicine. And you don't allow that sadness, that grief to break down your bones, to break down your family. It says, but a broken spirit drieth the bones, causes the bones to be brittle. So we will take joy. We'll step in the steps of joy, because joy is reflecting the very presence of God. You're saying, I am one with God. I am with God, and in God, glory is made manifest. You fight back. You fight back. You don't let it just remain and let the psychologist or the psychiatrist or whoever tell you this is always going to be a problem. This child has this problem, and they start mentioning all kinds of letters, alphabets, you know, to your child. No, that's not. I don't accept A, D, 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 T, 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 H, 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 H. No, I refuse to accept that. This child is given to me by God, and God does not give to me junk. Amen? So whatever it is that is causing this problem, I commit it to God. Right now, there's a high percentage of children. When you have a child that comes out spotless, you should thank God. Because in the world that we live in now, with all the junk and the nonsense going on, a lot of children are in trouble. I don't know how many families I've met, and their children have issues. There are people crying behind those doors because they have a child that cannot speak. They have a child that is crippled. They have a child that is all messed up. The interesting thing is, in verse 21, the word of God makes it a striking statement. He that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow. In essence, you gave birth to this child. How? How? Well, the word of God is saying something here. It's placing a blame for this particular result of the begetting of this fool that is causing sorrow based on the statement, doeth it. You did it. He that begetteth a fool did it to his sorrow. So, how am I supposed to know? How am I supposed to know that this child was going to act the fool? I don't know. But the lines of iniquity do show. So what is the word of God saying to us? Before you start having children, you need to come before the Lord and say, God, if there's anything in my line that is going to cause me to have children that are going to be accursed, if there's anything, any line of iniquity, if there's any activity of Satan that will try to bring about evil in my family, today let it be denounced, let it be accursed, let it be removed in the mighty name of Jesus. Let it be removed now in the mighty name of Jesus. That's very important. I don't think I've ever shared this with you guys, because it's very, very personal. Our first son is Andrew. Our second is Adrian. Now, our third is our daughter Ashley. But between Adrian and Ashley, there was a child. There was a miscarriage. It was a boy. Now, how did that miscarriage come about? Well, it came about because God said to me, he said, this pregnancy that your wife has, I'm going to have to take the child. I said, why? He said, there's something wrong with his brain. This child has to be called back because you will not be able to do what I'm calling you to do if you have this kind of a child. So I looked at Mama. I said, how am I going to tell Mama that she's about to lose a child? How do I come and say something like that? I said, Lord, I cannot talk about this. You just got to take care of this. And about 2 weeks later, maybe not even that long, she went to the washroom, and there comes a child, flushed out completely. Not a thing left. She was maybe about 6 or 7 months. God just cleaned everything out. And there came Ashley. But now, I had made this statement, and the statement was, I'm going to have two boys and a girl. That's it. Two boys and a girl. And I said to Mama, we're only having three. If there's no girl at the end, three. She started with six. She wanted six. And with each pregnancy, one number dropped. The numbers dropped, so we're in agreement. Now, based on my confession and God recognizing that I wanted to have a girl, he decided, I'm taking this one out. Now, there are certain things that we say that set the setting for certain things to happen, give room for certain things to happen. But we can trust God at all times, no matter what the situation, that he intervenes and helps us through those difficult times. Amen? So, if the word of God is saying that you, the father, has something to do, because lines of iniquity come through fathers, then it behooves you as a father or one who's wanting to have children to pray off all the nonsense. Pray it off. And trust God. Because if you walk blindly into it, there are all kinds of things that can come into your plate that need not be there. Because life happens, good and bad comes, and you've got to make a decision. You have a role to play. Every father, every mother has a role to play on that final product at the end. And you need to exercise your faith and not be nonchalant about anything that happens to be what God or what you want God to do in your life. You cannot be laissez-faire about it. You've got to be very intentional. Be very intentional. For every child, I knew the day that child came into that womb. I knew it. Okay, there's a child here. God wanted me to know. It was not accidental. Everything happened strategically. Now, I must continue to pray for them, every one of them, because there are people who are just as intentional in trying to see that they don't accomplish what God wants them to accomplish. The battle is always on, but you also have to take his stand against the agenda of the enemy. I'm not going to mention names, but there are evil people that come to church that say they are Christians, evil to the core. They are diabolical, devilish. We were at a conference many years ago, and the son-in-law and daughter of this man of God were ministering. And sitting behind Mama was a woman who was busy cursing that family. She's just pouring out curses. Destroy your family, blah, blah, blah. What are you doing? I'm not talking about some fictitious stuff. Real life. This woman was busy cursing at that family. It wasn't long. That woman, that daughter of this man of God, went berserk. Berserk, not berserk in terms she went crazy, but she started acting crazy. She got herself into an affair with some guy that almost destroyed in fact, should have destroyed that marriage. A child came out of that affair. But because prayers were being raised and that child had been covered and others have been praying, even though she faltered, the husband did not throw her away. The husband embraced her, they raised the child together, and they started a powerful marriage ministry. Good came out of it. Amen? Now, the devil is always targeting, that's what I'm saying. He's always targeting, but you must never stop. Even here, you should have read a letter that somebody sent to Mama and I, swearing and cursing at our children. This was so... A person attends the church. Evil, 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 evil. And you know what? That person's life, the person who was raising all those curses, their life has never been put together. Their life is all scattered, all over the place. They can't settle anywhere. Are children doing okay? Of course. Do they have challenges? Of course. But God's grace covers. Because I have a promise from God that the blessing that He's given to me is not supposed to add sorrow to me. Amen? So I hold on to the word of God. I did not beget a fool. So I'm not going to sorrow. Praise God. Hallelujah. The grace of God is sufficient. So what is my position? Have a merry heart. It does me good. It's like medicine. It's like medicine. And my structure is held together in spite of all the challenges. So the devil comes, he attacks. That's what he does. That's what he does. So why am I complaining? I got to do my part. Fight back in the name of the Lord and say, you're trying to dig a hole for me and my family? You're going to fall into it. It is you that is going to fall apart, break apart, and whatever else. You can strategize all you want, but you will fail because God has not blessed me and added sorrow to it. My children are going to be my wealth also. And my children's children. Hallelujah. And my children's children's children. So in spite of all the challenges of the enemy, we keep on forging on. That is how it's supposed to be. Amen? Verse 23 says, a wicked man taketh a gift out of the bosom to pervert the ways of judgment. A wicked man takes a gift, takes a bribe to pervert the ways of judgment. How much do you have? Okay, take it. All right. In that case, we're going to overthrow it, and the innocent is going to be put in jail, but your son or daughter or your whatever, they're supposed to be in jail. We're going to take you out. We're going to see that you are paid handsomely. We're going to twist everything. We're going to hide information just to make you look bad or make your opponent look bad. It says a wicked man taketh a gift out of the bosom to pervert the ways of judgment. That is life. What do I do? If I know that that happens, then my prayer must not be, oh God, help me with this case. No, I say, God, whoever it is that has taken a bribe to pervert the ways of judgment, I declare this day that, Lord, oh God, that you intervene in this particular matter and that you deal with them and that you remove them from that place so that justice and mercy happens for me. Again, the point is, there are certain things that happen. God is telling you there are people that are wicked, they are going to take bribes, and they are going to twist stuff. So you're going to go to court? Just plain, just like that? You won't have problems. Someone sent me a video clip about 2 weeks ago, and I came across that video clip again myself. It was fed to me about a lawyer and a pastor. And the pastor had a case with, I don't know who, but those people had about 10 or 12 lawyers on their side, excellent lawyers. And they were beating up on the pastor's lawyer. So on the day before they were going to go to court again, pastor calls his lawyer. Say, you up? Say, yeah, I'm up. I was waiting for your call. You know, calling him like 2 or 3 or 4 a.m. in the morning. So he goes, says, come to my room. So he comes to the pastor's room, and the pastor says to him, okay, are you clean? Because we need God to be on our side, and God is not going to be on the side of unclean people. So right now, you are going to confess everything that you've done wrong. I'm going to confess everything I've done wrong, and then we're going to pray about this case tomorrow. And before you knew it, the pastor was confessing already. He's just blip, 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 blip. 2 or so hours later, he asked the lawyer, are you clean? He says, as best as I know, I'm clean. He says, okay, me too. Now he says, okay, God, tomorrow, throw confusion on those people. Let them just go against each other. Let them not be in agreement, blah, 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 and so on and so forth. He did not go to that court blind and ignorant, nonchalant. The next day, they are in the court. Everybody's set, and all of a sudden, there's confusion. Those lawyers, we were all in agreement yesterday, but today we are not in agreement about this. And one says, I don't know why we are suing this guy. They were all messed up. The pastor says to the lawyer, should I tell them why? He said, no, don't tell them. Don't tell them. Basically, don't go into life thinking that things are just going to be hunky-dory. Sometimes it's not like that. You got to deal with the forces of darkness. The Bible says we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places or heavenly places. You've got to enforce the word of God. You've got to take the word of God and apply it. Apply it to your particular situation. And just assuming that things are going to go well for you is not the way it goes. You got to enforce the word of God. You got to take that word of God and say, this is what the word of God says, and this is what's going to happen in my situation. Judgment is not going to be perverted when it comes to me. People are not going to be doing all kinds of crazy things, taking bribes just to scandalize my name. You know how many people want to scandalize your name for absolutely no reason? Well, He says in verse 24, wisdom is before him that hath understanding. You got to have that understanding and then act accordingly. He says, but the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. The eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. They are not, they're looking way over there and they're not dealing with stuff here. You got to see clearly. The word of God is a lamp unto my feet. Yeah? It's not a floodlight. It's a lamp. And as you take steps, you get clarity. You see, between when you heard God's word and the fulfillment of that word, there is a process. There's a process. Call it hope, still a process. Call it God's plan. Now, when God gives you a word and the fulfillment of it, there is a plan of God that you may not know. And it's good that you don't know. Because if you knew what the plan of God is to manifest whatever it is that he told you he wants to do, you may reject that plan. You may reject that purpose. If God revealed to Joseph that for him wearing the coat to him sitting in the high seat as vice president or premier of Egypt, that he was going to go through the pit, go through Potiphar's house, go through the prison, I don't think he would have accepted that deal. Do you understand? Nobody wants it. Because there's always a process. And so wisdom is before him that hath understanding. When you have an understanding that God, the Almighty God, is going to work a work in you and through you, you rest, you relax. You go through the process called plan or hope until it is manifested. Amen? But a fool is looking at the end and thinking, I'm at the end already. No, you're not at the end already, because God is still God. And while you're thinking that you are going to beat down everybody, steal their stuff, you are going to be in for a rude awakening. That God can use a little boy called David, just 12 years old, to cut off the head of a Goliath. Goliath is stuck in trash. But David, in wisdom, says, you think you're fighting against me and against these people? No, no, you're fighting against God, and God is going to take you out. People that are being used by the devil think they're getting away with something, but it's not going to happen the way they think. The devil will always be disappointed. If he knew that Jesus on the cross, Jesus buried, meant his defeat, he would have done everything he could possibly do to make sure Jesus doesn't die. He would have done, and you know what? That would have been the easiest thing for him to do, because Jesus in himself cannot die because there's no sin in him. The wages of sin is death. He had no sin. So for him to die was not a possibility. He had to take on sin and be identified with sin for him to die. But the devil was thinking, uh-oh, he's a sinner now. He's got sin now. Now we can kill him. Oh, yeah. But he says, you can't kill me. You don't have anything in me. I put my life down. I take it back up. The devil will always be checkmated. Amen? He thinks he's moving, and checkmate. Move, checkmate. It doesn't matter how many times this game is played, the devil will always lose. Amen? And that's what you and I need to say in our lives. I may be going through this, but I'm not losing, you're losing. You're going to lose at the end of this story. When the dust settles, I'll be standing and you'll be under my feet. I don't care what the devil is doing. Just hold on to that truth. Be established in that truth, and so shall it be unto you according to your declaration, according to your faith. The word of God goes on again and restates verse 25. Because this is a serious situation. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bore him. Bitterness, disappointment, unforgiveness, all kinds of things. Now, the bitterness may be at the child, but the bitterness may also be at the husband. If this, if that. So points of accusation. And so what is God's word saying to us? If this son is bringing grief to you, what does God's word say? God tells us about his peace. God tells us about joy. So what do? I go to the Father. I go to the rock. I go to him who is able to sustain me, keep me, help me, and deliver my son. The Father, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us about the prodigal son's father. The son, the second son, was acting the fool. Father did not fight with him. Gave him what he needed, what he was asking for. But he did not give up on that son. He did not give up. The son moved everything, left home, was living high, lost everything. But the track record of his father, how his father cared when he came back to his right mind, even though he was coming for the wrong reason, his father was waiting for him. He came back to his right mind. Word of God says, train up a child in the way he needs to go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Well, the point is, they may stray, but at the end, they will come back to the truth that has been fully imparted to them. You must never lose sight of that. That the word of God will take root in them, no matter what. So we say, God, water him. Water, water, water him. And cause your life to come forth in him and through him. You don't embrace the bitterness. You don't embrace the grief. That is what the enemy would like. That is the normal thing. A foolish son is a grief to his father. Yes, it is. And it's bitterness to her that bore him. Yes, it is that too. But there is a flip side to it. The flip side to it is this, that if I see that son as a blessing, not as a curse, then I tap into the flip side of this story, the blessing of the Lord. It make it rich and it adds no sorrow. Sorrow, God has not added you to me. Therefore, I do not accept you in my life. I cleave to the God who has loved me with an everlasting love, and I walk in his joy. His joy is my strength. What happened to that prodigal son when he came to his right mind? He said, my father has servants and they're well taken care of. I'm not worthy to be called a son anymore. But I'm going to go back to my father. Look at that. He still says, my father. And I'm going to say to my father, I'm not worthy to be your son. Make me a servant. But you see, he still said, father. He still said, I'll go back to my father. He didn't say, I'm going to go back to my boss. I'm going to go back to that old man. I'm going back to my father. God, in the midst of that terrible situation, still had him speaking, father, 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 father. And when he met with his father and was talking trash, his father didn't even respond to that nonsense. He says, my son is back. Kill the fatted calf. Bring him shoes and nice robe and all of that. He robed him, dressed him up with his tattered clothes underneath. He didn't take him to go take a bath first. He didn't want his neighbors to see anything wrong with his son. Covered him up. Then they had the shower. Then they had the bath. Then they took out what was underneath the nice outfit. But the old, useless, torn-up outfit, he did not allow anybody else to see. He was still afar off when he went to him. We call to love when we're challenged like this. Verse 26. Looks like we're going to make it. Looks like we're going to make it. It says, also to punish the just is not good, nor to strike princes for equity. To punish the just is not good. You know, the actions of people is ridiculous sometimes. I see people supporting what is wrong and punishing that which is good. Let's put this in the context of a church or a business. There is a business, a church, let's use church, where the word of God is fervently being preached. But there's no support. That's punishing the just. There is another church where the truth is not being preached. Anything goes. And there's all kinds of support. That's punishing the just. We should support that which is true and continue to feed it so that it can continue to fulfill its divine mandate. You see a business that is doing the right thing, support it. Support it. See a business that is doing the wrong thing, why are you supporting that? There is a particular store that I like going to when I'm down south, because they have decent prices. And they have all kinds of stuff that it's not hyper expensive. Well, they decided to support a particular lifestyle and whatever else. And I said to myself, you know what? My dime is not coming your way no more. I'm not going to support that. I'm not going to take the money that God has blessed me with and go put it in your coffers so that you can support a lifestyle that does not glorify God. Oh, was it ever tough? Because there were some things that I really wanted there. But there's a particular, that particular company starts with a T. That's all I can say. Then there's this designer. Starts with a T also. You know, it normally has nice designs and, you know, not too bad in price point. And he's into the same thing. I said, no more. Now that I know that that's where you are, I'm not giving you my money. Oh, was it ever tough? Everything that I started looking at when I go to the store to buy a shoe, a belt, whatever. It is that particular name. Don't support that which is wrong. Yeah, don't support that which is wrong. When you understand that the money that you have, God gave it to you. Support that which is righteous. Amen? Go with that which is right. Support that which is right. And they will get better and better. Amen? Praise God. Now, verse 27 is a very good place to end today. I believe 27 is the last verse. Yes. It says, a person who had... Is that 28? Oh, that's 28. Okay. He that had knowledge spared his words. Point. Don't talk too much. Don't talk too much. If you keep on talking, you'll talk yourself to death. You don't have to say everything. You have the power to not say something if you choose not to. It says, and when you do that, you're a knowledgeable person. You spare your words. Because your words do not only affect your present, it affects your future. What you say now is seeded into your future. And if you are just yapping your mouth off right now, you may be shutting yourself away from the best that God has for you. You don't know who God is going to use to bless you. And you cannot be fighting other people's battles when you have no clue what the whole story is. Not many people are carrying grudges based on what somebody else did that had nothing to do directly with them. But they're so embittered in themselves. And they're talking and saying all kinds of crazy stuff. Just because. See, people talk sometimes not knowing who they are talking about. It is not everybody that you can get away with just saying anything. You may get away with this person there, that person there, that person there, that person there, that person there. But then you say a little thing about a particular person and your whole life unravels. Your whole life unravels. That's why you must keep your mouth shut. Some of the people that have been a source of blessing in my life, I had an opportunity to lash at them with my mouth, call them out. And I thank God I didn't. Because God said, you better not say that. Come to find out, that person was a destiny helper. And I could have said something and destroyed that relationship, cut off that relationship. Back off. Back off. It's not every time that you just yap. Even when you think you're right, vengeance is mine, said the Lord. I'll repay. I'll deal with it. Oh, but they're going to think I'm a fool. That's what they think. But you act the wise man. He says, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Have an excellent spirit. You see, when sometimes people just go, and you did not respond the way they expected you to respond, and you walked out of that fight, they go home and they think, oh my, I acted the fool. That guy. He didn't act up. He was all together. He did not lose his cool. I have to learn some things. Well, sometimes they may think that you're the fool because you did not act in a particular way. But give it time. God will fight for you. And God will make a way for you. Sometimes other people will see what is going on and they will step in and fight for you. This guy did nothing. How come you're messing around here? Look at Jesus at the cross. He's on the cross. And there's a guy there that's yapping away. Just blah, 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 blah. The other one responds to the guy. Hey, this guy didn't do anything wrong. We're rogues, we're thieves. This guy is innocent. And would you know, because he defended Jesus, God gave him a revelation right there on the cross. This is the Son of God. Ask him to be in his kingdom. Do you know what kind of a miracle that was? We read it and we say, oh yeah, this one said, this today, you know, take me to paradise. Do you know how much revelation that was? And where did that revelation come from? It came from a man who was defending that which was right. God's revelation comes to us when we stand on the right side of things. Amen? That's how revelation comes. You take the side of God, God will take your side and will show you ways to escape whatever the enemy had planned for you. So do good. Do good. What did verse 26 say again? No, not 26. Well, there's a verse. Okay, forget it. Your assignment is to do the right thing, because you have knowledge, but spare your words. Don't talk too much. It says, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. That's a true statement. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Don't talk too much. Christian, you're a Christian. And be cool. You don't need to spout out everything. Be a mystery. That is not figured out completely. Give out information that is needful, but be wise enough to hold back what you don't need to dish out. You protect yourself by so doing. It's a wise thing to ask God and say, God, help me not to dish out too much information. Just enough to help somebody, to minister to somebody, to encourage somebody. Help me to hold my peace. This is a fool, even a fool. Remember, the fool is the one that brings about sorrow and grief. So even that one, when he holds his peace, is counted wise. If you're asked a question, give the simple answer. One of my spiritual daughters, was being attacked by a patient of hers, and she called me out of the blue. Said, "This is what's happening. This is what's happening." I said, "What have you done about it?" Said, "I did this, and I said I'm going to meet with them." I said, "Don't meet with them. Don't. Don't even talk anymore. Keep your mouth shut. Why? Because you're going to walk into a trap. You're going to say more than you need to say, and it's going to be used against you. Even the your cop or lawyer will say, say nothing, because whatever it is that you say will be held against you. Is that not true? Yeah. Keep your mouth shut. Don't talk too much. It's simple. And especially in our day and in our time, be careful what you put on social media. That's part of talking. You see something on social media, you're typing already. You want to give them a piece of your mind. After you give them a piece of your mind and then give another piece of your mind and then another piece of your mind, you have nothing left. You'll be mindless. Stop. Ask yourself this question. What am I going to gain from interacting in this, engaging in this nonsense? What am I going to gain? You see, if you have fire and you don't add wood to it, after a while, the fire will go out. Yeah? The enemy wants you to be that fool that will keep on yapping away, gossiping. Same thing, saying, did you know? Did you hear? Did you this? Did you that? Don't get caught up. Especially in the age and time that we live in now, don't get caught up in all of the nonsense. Or you may find yourself on the wrong side. Investigate. Check out your sources for your own self-protection. Because today as it is, if anybody wants to place you anywhere in the world doing something really bad with your own voice and your own image and you were not there, they can just do it like that. Just like that. Boom. And right now I can be in Morocco doing something crazy in Morocco. But it's not me. AI is so powerful now that it can do all kinds of crazy stuff. So we need to be very discerning. The Word of God says, love thinketh not evil. Yeah? If there's a time that we need to hold on to that word, it's right now. So they did that. Okay. The grace of God is sufficient. You go talk to your brother if you are able to access the person and say, this is what I heard. What's going on? Is there any way I can be of help? Is there any way I can restore you? Our posture is the one of restoration rather than that of condemnation, accusing the brethren. Hold your peace. Shut your lips and be one who is esteemed as a man of understanding. I trust that what we've studied tonight is of help to us as God's people. because we need to carry ourselves. We're living in a very dangerous world. And it is wanting us to yap, 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 type, 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 and whatever else. Be careful. Be very careful so that you don't create a track that the enemy can work with. Whatever it is that you're doing, have a godly reason for doing it. Huh? Not everybody may accept what your reasoning is, but as long as you and God are in communion and you're doing it for a reason that is going to glorify God and going to bring help to somebody, just do that. They may call you up, down, in every which way and say, "This, I did this, yeah. And this is why I did it." Huh? Yeah. And then shut your mouth. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the manifold blessings that we have in you. We're thankful, Lord, oh God, that we're able to study your word tonight and complete this 17th chapter and all the things that you've taught us. We ask, oh God, for divine wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. We've seen those three elements showcased to us as we've studied Proverbs 17. And as we take a break for this summer, we ask, oh God, that as we return back and we begin with chapter 18, that deep insight, wisdom, and understanding will begin to activate life in us. So that, Father, in all things, your name is exalted and your praise continually be in our mouth. We rejoice, oh God, in your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. And Lord, oh God, we ask, oh God, that you intervene concerning every challenge that we face. That the answers that come from your throne room be the answers, oh God, that go after the enemy and discomfit every enemy, knock down all of the altars of the evil one. Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare this day that your sovereign reign will cause our lives to flourish, blossom, and Lord, oh God, to just grow in the growth that you provide, because you are the God who has increased us. Father, we pray for this, your church. You said you will build your church and the gates of hell will not prevail over it. We're asking, oh God, that you prevail over every attack of the enemy, over every agenda of the enemy, Lord, prevail. And cause us, O God, to step, O God, into our rightful place, knowing, O God, that you have done great things for us, that we are the blessed and highly favored, that miracles have not ceased, because your glory is revealed in us and through us. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Father, that it is well with us. We go in our way, knowing that it is so. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving. And as we give unto the Lord, may God's grace abound towards us. Hallelujah. I want to thank God for Brother John Bisson. It's always good to see you. Celebrate the goodness of God in your life. And thank God for Sister Judith. I'm not expecting you to turn on your phone.